Welcome to Happily Family. I'm Cecilia
And
Hilke,
I'm Jason Hilke.
and we are delighted today to have Susan Notice with us. Susan is a certified integrative wealth coach and the founder of In Balance Life and Parent Coaching. With a passion for helping parents navigate the challenges of raising children, she offers coaching programs designed to alleviate overwhelm, release from perfectionism, foster balance, and empower parents to lead with compassion. Drawing from her experience as an award-winning teacher in both public and holistic schools, as well as a proud mom of two teenagers, Susan combines personal insights with professional expertise to empower families. Welcome, Susan. It's great to have you.
Good to hear, have you here, Susan?
Thank you for having me. It's so nice to see you.
Thanks.
I wanted to first ask about, I know you do some work helping parents understand their child's temperament. What does this mean, and why is that important for parents to know about?
So when we are able to understand our child's temperament, the positives and the negatives of that temperament, we're able to foster unconditional love for them. So, for example, my child is very choleric, and I use the four temperaments that Rudolf Steiner designed, but this can be temperaments can be looked at through personality tests now and all sorts of different forms. I found these four temperaments just easy to use. So the choleric temperament is one that somebody is a strong leader. And so the challenging behavior of having a child that is becoming a strong leader is sometimes they're really bossy. They're opinionated, they like to share their opinions, they're loud about their opinions. And so in my life, I had to re-kind of frame how I looked at these challenging behaviors and look at them as my child's strengths. I did this a lot as a teacher. It was really my goal to love every child unconditionally. So children often fell within these four temperaments, and I could see some of their challenging behaviors as their strengths and how to foster those strengths, how to work with them. And yeah, it just is this way to foster unconditional love. So within my coaching program, I do an activity with the four temperaments and in hopes of fostering unconditional love for your children.
Okay, so let's talk about the four temperaments, because one is, I'm just kind of curious, like what do we mean by temperament? Like I've used the word, but I actually don't think I really know what it means. Like really, if I were to describe it to someone else, and maybe we talk a little about that and what the four are, and like how does that play out for a kiddo or a parent in the relationship?
Right. So maybe if we start with what the four temperaments are, it will help us kind of define along the way what a temperament is. So I just described the choleric temperament. Some of the other ones are a sanguine temperament. This is a joyful explorer. So often a child with, say, ADHD falls into this category, and they're very free. And I kind of think of them like a butterfly jumping from one thing to another thing. So that's the sanguine. We talked about the choleric, and another one is the melancholic temperament. So melancholics are very sensitive. They feel deeply, and at times it can, overwhelm us because they get overwhelmed with their emotions. They cry a lot. And yeah, so we are trying to reframe seeing that. And we can see it as this child's going to bring such soulful wisdom into the world. They can see things other children miss. And so they can become great counselors and therapists and artists. So that's the melancholic. And last but not least is the phlegmatic. And the phlegmatic is a peaceful observer. And somebody with a phlegmatic child will describe them as they're so slow and they seem unmotivated. But really, this again is a temperament that is able to see the bigger picture. And we have to meet them with, like, okay, how can I live at their pace? How can I be okay with their pace? And then how can I encourage them on their path of becoming their highest self and kind of help speed them up a little? So when we understand the temperaments, we're both meeting them with love where they are and encouraging them on their path to becoming a thriving adult in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, I got lots of questions, but do you want to start?
I just appreciate this. It's not that different from things that we've taught of looking at our child, understanding with each like weakness is also a strength, which each strength is also kind of a weakness, and seeing the positives in our child rather than just the negative parts of whatever behavior or acting out or thing that they're doing. So yeah, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I like that too. I like I really like the way these are described. And what started coming up for me was two questions immediately. One was, can you be part of one and part of another, or can it vary, like even in a day or in a week? And can it actually, I guess this is three questions. And then can it actually change over time? Like, is someone who is that way as a toddler, that way as a adolescent, as they are as an adult? Like, how does that kind of play out in like the lifetime?
So usually somebody has a primary temperament and a secondary temperament. So it is common that you will see two in one person, but oftentimes not more than that. And then, yes, the goal really is in humanity is that we are on a path of learning and becoming better people, right? So, maybe I did come into the world as a choleric, a bossy person with lots of opinions, but over the course of time, I'm learning how to work with that temperament and essentially kind of calm that temperament down and become a balance of all the temperaments. That's the goal, a balance between all the temperaments.
Okay, I think that was actually what I was just going to ask. Is that like what we're shooting for? Is like balancing it out? And I'm going to sound really, maybe this is just judgmental, but are we looking at just becoming like kind of vanilla plain and just everyone the same kind of temperament and or a combination of them? Or can we still have like that balance but still have strength so that and utilize some of the positives of those strengths?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I mean, we're still going to have that underlying, like, primary temperament, and it's good to honor the strengths within us that are there from that temperament. So, yes, like, of course, we want leaders who know how to speak their voice. And of course, we need the phlegmatics of the world who are able to sit back and observe and see the world as a whole. So it's not really always bring them into a balance to alleviate the primary temperament, but to bring them all into balance and honor the parts that are our strengths too.
Yeah. So
Listen.
I'm imagining, like, let's just choose your daughter as an example. She's a leader, and I can imagine if she were my kid and seeing this leadership quality in her, like, oh, that's going to be great for her future and even her present, and finding a lot of joy in that. And then I can also imagine a situation in which she's got her friends over and there's play date happening, and her leadership skills are going off in a way that I'm like, wow, I don't know if she's gonna have friends after this. And she's directing the traffic and telling everyone what to do.
Right.
And While honoring that strength in her, what kinds of things could I do in the moment or maybe afterwards to help build the skills to address kind of the weaknesses of that temperament?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, one of the things that I find really important is when you're talking to your child about this is to first start by validating why it's so great they have this temperament. Especially with teenagers, they really respond by feeling validated. And then you can go into the, and you know what? We also need to be this way, or we also need to make sure that we make our friends feel like they're comfortable and that they're able to share their voices too, because we all learn from each other. And yeah, you can just kind of go into all the positives of how allowing other people to have their voice is important too.
Nice.
So go ahead. Do you want to ask something there? I'm going to shift a little bit here.
Shift two. You go for it.
I was kind of curious about love languages because that was something we had talked about a little bit before we'd started here. And that's a question we get from parents often, and figuring out love languages for their kids. And there's a lot of discussion about, what's our love language? And could you talk a little bit about that? Why do we care? I mean, that sounds really basic, but just let's start really basic in here. Why do we care about love languages? And are we interested in our love language, our kids' love language? How do they pair together? And then how do we figure out what they are?
Right. Good questions. So, love languages, I feel, are really important because you can really foster a strong sense of connection with your child when you are able to speak their love language. They feel your love more deeply when you are expressing your love in a way that they like to feel it. So, for those of you who don't know the five love languages, it was a New York Times bestselling book by Gary Chapman. So I don't want to forget to honor who brought this amazing exercise to us. But there are five love languages. There's quality time, touch, acts of service, words of affirmation, and gifts. And oftentimes, kind of like our temperaments, we kind of feel more attuned to feeling love in one of these ways. Now, the important thing about when you learn your child's love language is that you might not feel comfortable showing the love language that they feel the best. So, for example, one of my daughters, her love language is touch, and I'm not a touchy-feely person, right? So that kind of goes to understanding my love languages and how I like to feel loved. And so, yes, we need to know our own, but we also need to know our child's and how to work within that love language. I do an exercise in my coaching program where you journal and notice how your child is responding to different ways of showing the love. So every day you're showing a different kind of love language and seeing how they're responding. And you also can note, oh, my child is asking for love in a certain way, like, Mommy, you never spend time with me. Well, maybe her love language of that child is quality time. They want to spend time with you. So there are exercises you can do that make you more aware of your child's love language, and then also how can we show them love in their love language.
Nice. I wanted
Okay.
to ask you
So,
because
what's my love language? Yeah, I'm going to
gift
ask you.
giving
Gift giving. It's good.
and
Yeah.
acts of service.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Woof, pass that one.
And yours, I didn't miss here if I got this, is quality time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You looked at
I
like
don't
there
know.
should be more.
There
Like,
might be another one.
did I miss it?
Anyway,
Okay.
so here's what I wanted to get back around to, because like you, Susan, I have at least two kids that physical touch is theirs and it's not mine. So is the job then that I just kind of get over it and offer them hugs, or what do I do when there's these kind of mismatches?
Farm it out to your spouse.
You in there, go give her a hug.
Think it is working on yourself. So much of what we need to do as parents is the inner work. And being, it does push us outside of our comfort zone, right? And yeah, so maybe finding ways that we could show this touch, this love language of touch in a way we feel comfortable. So, in my house, we have couch snuggles. Like, at the end of the day, we can pile on the couch and sometimes we turn on a show, or sometimes it's just sitting and reflecting about the day. That's one I can get around. I'm a mover and a shaker. It's hard for me to sit down, but that is one I can do, is sit down and have couch snuggles, or reading a book with your child at the end of the day. That was another way I did it when my kids were younger. Get into bed, snuggle, and read books. So it's finding a way that you can feel comfortable with
Yeah.
in their love language. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a this. I don't know if they're connected, but I am curious. Is there any connection between love languages and temperaments? We were talking about both those. Is there anything that you've seen or a way that those play out?
I have not thought of it that way. That's a good next exploration for me,
Okay, I didn't
Jason.
want to put you on the spot, but I was kind of curious about that since those are the two things we were talking about here.
Yeah, I think for me, they're both exercises in fostering compassion and unconditional love for your child, and being able to meet them and connect with them in a different kind of way. But yeah, that's a good next step for me to explore.
Well, and it's interesting the way you just talked about that, 'cause it is about like it there exercises in empathy in a way, it seems like, right? It's like getting us out of our own stuff, and like it's not about what I want necessarily or what I in the my love language. It's about their love language, and also like what is it that is their temperament, like really putting myself over there. They seem like some really nice exercises, tools that, for us to be able to practice empathy with them. So I like that you pointed that out.
Yeah, thank
Yeah.
you.
I know that you also have a practice that you teach parents of finding the beauty in your child. Can you talk us through how that works?
Sure. So, finding the beauty is another exercise in this lesson about fostering compassion and unconditional love. And it's really, again, being able to shift your mindset from negative to positive, seeing your child in a positive light. So in this exercise, we do a lot of journaling, and each day you fill in a sentence. The sentence starts with, "Today I noticed," and you fill in the blank of something you observed in your child, and you're trying to see the positive, okay? So something positive you observed, and it made me feel a positive emotion. And then you reflect it back to your child. So one sentence that kind of is an example for this is, "Today I saw how gently you helped your brother with his shoes. That was really thoughtful. And it made me happy to see you working together as a team to get us out the door earlier." So every day it's noticing one of these instances where we're seeing the positive instead of focusing on the negative. It's so easy as parents to go into wanting to fix our children, so you're always seeing the negatives and going to that place. But if we can kind of retrain our brains to think positively over a series of time, then it comes more naturally. And overall, all these exercises also helps us show up for our kids in a loving, positive light. Because when we do that, when we show up for them in the way we want them to behave and be in the world, then that's when we can see it. So we have to be the calm that we want to see in our child. We have to be the compassion that we want to see in our child. So being positive is like one of those qualities. Like, don't we all want our children to go out and see the world with, rosy colored glasses and with glasses half full instead of half empty? So we have to model that for them.
I like this exercise. I wish I would have had the full extent of this exercise when I was doing it. Like I really liked the second two parts, like the seeing the positive in the child, and then also reflecting. I already forgot what they were. Like immediately, like reflecting it back to
It
the
made me
how
feel,
you felt, and
yeah,
reflecting back. What was the second one?
to the tell the child.
And are you actually, and that was my question, are you actually telling the child this, or is this something that you're just doing internally or in your journal?
Well, you begin by journaling. I think that's a good first step, but then you're putting it into practice.
Okay. And
So
so.
you look back on your day and say, oh, I didn't, I wasn't positive. I was negative today. Okay, where could I have seen positive? At the end of your day, you reflect back, and then once you can journal about it, that's when you can then start the practice.
Okay, so practice, step me through it again. I'm slow here. The first thing is like seeing something positive in him. The
Right.
second thing is, I'm not going to continue to guess because I don't want to mess it up.
It is then telling them the positive emotion that comes from the positive action. So I saw this action that you took. It made me feel this way, a positive emotion. And then the third step is to reflect it back to them.
Okay. So yeah, those last two were things that I wish I would have had in my toolbox when I was doing this, because that first part especially is just so powerful. So I can't imagine how powerful the second two pieces must have been also if I had employed those, because I think that was there was a point at which, and I think this may be true for many people here, is that their kid just didn't fit into the box of like all the parenting books, right? Like they're doing all
Absolutely.
the stuff that they're supposed to be doing, and their kids not like what all the books are talking about, and they're like they've got their own challenges, and as a result, I started just seeing our kid in a negative light in a lot of ways, and it was just I saw all the things that weren't working, and that just affected my relationship with them. It affected how I talked to them. It affected like how I felt. Like there was all this stuff that came up, and I made that shift. I don't remember how that came about. I don't know where I'd read it, heard it, what it was, but that I started making a practice of like recognizing the positives. And it was astounding to me how quickly things changed. Things probably didn't really change, but it was just my relationship to them, what I saw, what I was noticing. And I really would have loved to have done those last two because I think that would have even taken it to another level for myself, but also for my kiddo. She would have both of them. This has happened with both our kids. Like it would have just really enhanced our relationship, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think of these things also in with a spouse in a marriage relationship would be helpful, or even with myself, and acknowledging the positive thing that I did and how I made myself feel. What do you think about that?
Absolutely, because self-compassion is like so important. We learn to have compassion for our children, but we can't forget to have compassion for ourselves. And this is also one of those moments where we have to model to our children compassion for ourselves. I think, Jason, when you were talking, it brought to mind my need for perfection. It's something I talked about in my chapter in the book, and how my need for perfection became something important in my parenting. Like, I need you to be perfect because I'm being perfect and I'm striving for perfection, and you need to be perfect and too. And that definitely collapsed and didn't work in my family. And I fell down and had to pick ourselves all back up. But Yeah, I think modeling that self-compassion for ourselves, I wish I had. I came from this long generational line of women who are self-sacrificing, and I didn't learn how to do that. And I had to learn how to do that because of my health. And now I'm glad that I'm seeing my children picking up on that and knowing that they need to do self-care Sunday. They need to have that compassion for themselves and know that imperfection is just a trait of being a human, and it gives us opportunities to grow. And yeah, so yeah, self-compassion is just as important as compassion for our children.
I think
I
you're
love that.
probably speaking to the choir of everyone that's probably listening to this, because that's why they're here. People are here because they want to learn and be better parents. And so I think many people work really, really hard at that and forget to give themselves a little bit of space.
And I want to speak to how I think common your experience is too, Susan. I can certainly relate to the desire for perfectionism or the pursuit of that and how unattainable it is. So I wanted to just ask you if there's somebody listening and they know they're trying to do things perfectly. Maybe they're exhausted, maybe they're self-sacrificing, maybe they don't like who they are turning into, or they're not liking their life very much. What are some of the things that that person could do to start shifting? How do they know that it's time, and what do they actually do?
Yeah, I think one of the most important parts of that is to recognize why is this quest for perfection important for me? And oftentimes that takes looking back into your childhood. And so understanding for me, it was I need to be perfect because that's what my parents expected of me. And that's how they showed love. I got love when I was perfect. And so I think the quest for perfection shows up in our health. It shows up and it gets stored in our body and things, you start getting overwhelmed, you start burning out. For me, I got cancer. And then okay, where is this coming from? And what do I need to heal? Who do I need to forgive in order to let go of that perfection so I can show up and go through life and find joy and be okay with stumbling and picking myself up? Because boy, our kids need to see us do that, So, yeah,
Yeah, I
I
don't think I
love
want to be
that.
modeling perfection for my kids as much as unfortunately, I probably do. It's hard.
It is. It's really hard.
Hence the title, Perfectly Imperfect Family. I like that. And as we're wrapping up here, Susan, I love this reminder about perfection. I've enjoyed, we've talked about these different ways of viewing our child in a positive light. Do you have any final words or anything you want to leave folks with here?
I definitely want parents to know they're not alone. I was an educator and studied many years to learn about how to meet children and how to, understand child psychology. But yet, I still, to this very day, find myself falling and picking myself up. Just this last summer, my daughter came home for college for the first time. I knew I should expect that she was going to be struggling with having independence and then not having it at home, and I still couldn't. It was a struggle for me. So we all struggle, and it's really about finding support and being able to turn to experts like you and me and other coaches or counselors that can help us along the way, because we all need it at one point or another. So definitely reach out and Yeah, I just finished Raising by Example, my course that focuses on us being the best person we can be so that our children can, we can be a model for our children. And it's a 6-week course that is a hybrid model. So there's video content, the lessons are in video content, but then we also meet with each lesson one-on-one so they can find support that way. So thank you for
Great.
letting me hear about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, how could people find out more about your course, your coaching? You have a lot of free content as well. How could they find out about that online?
So in the show notes, you're going to drop my link for my website, and when you click on that, you'll be able to find one of these exercises that we talked about today, as well as some of my other offerings that I had through the book. So, yeah, I'd be happy to have people connect with me and book a schedule one-on-one. So even in the time of need that comes up like that, you know, sometimes we just need someone to talk us through a parenting struggle. So I'm now offering one-on-ones that are just spur of the moment too.
Okay, great. So we'll include that link in the speaker notes so people can get that free exercise and go through that. And we appreciate you talking to us here, talking to the folks here, and having us remember, to look at the positive of our kid and all the different ways that we can do that. So thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Look forward to talking to you again next time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye
Thank
bye.
you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.